I am just excited about this Love Where You Live. And this is our last sermon in the series. So we're bringing this to an end. But we're not just going to stop and not talk about it again, okay? This is the beginning. This is just the beginning of something greater. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit at the end of this message. But it's been a great series for me. And I hope it's been challenging and encouraging to you also. This weekend is the 20th anniversary of that September 11th, 2001, when terrorists took over all those planes and went into the towers, into the Pentagon, and then one that crashed into the field in Pennsylvania, headed towards Washington D.C. Hopefully, you've had a chance to remember and to think about those times. I think it's definitely something that we should always remember, and something we should tell our kids about. I think it's something we should always keep in front of them. One of the passengers on Flight 93 that you have more than likely heard of and have read his story, the books have been written, was Todd Beamer. And if you remember his story, and probably I had a chance to hear that message once again a couple of days ago that he left he talked with the 911 operator. And one of the most amazing acts of courage and bravery that we have seen in quite a while was him and the passengers of that plane coming together and keeping that plane from entering into Washington D.C. even at the expense of their own life. And listen, all of 9/11, we know there are incredible acts of bravery and heroism, and so grateful for all those that sacrificed so much for others. But one of the lasting impressions of Todd Beamer was really the last thing that he said. And you guys know what he said. You probably have heard it many, many times over the course of this weekend. But his last words that he said that could be overheard on the phone was, "Let's roll." And so then he went and they gathered together and they fought back for that plane. I would not want to kind of take away from that moment. That was an incredible act of bravery for him to say that, to say, "Let's roll," and to be willing to sacrifice and to go all in to do something great. As I listen to that, it moves me, and I hope that it moves you to be a better patriot, a better American, a better person. When I look at that also, I think, I almost feel a little guilty as a believer. Because every day we walk out of the church, we should have the same mentality. Let's go. Let's roll. Let's go with what God has spoken to our heart about, and let's do something about it. Let's make a difference. And so as I was thinking through this weekend about this message, I kept coming back to the title of "Let's Go." It is time for believers to stand up and to move forward and not just speak the words and not just say those things and not just believe those things, but to put those things in action that we have been learning all these years. To not just hear the Word of God, as James tells us, to be a doer of the Word of God and to live it out. So I want to encourage you today in the last message that we have in Love Where You Live is just the challenge of this. Let's go. Let's don't just leave it here as a message, as a sermon or sermon notes. Let's go and actually do something with what God has given us and put into action this faith that we have. So this morning, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of John. So we're going to be camping out just for a little while, and I want to spend some of my message this morning talking about something that I'm really excited. I'm excited about all of it, but really excited for our church in the next few years. But in John chapter 4, this is a familiar chapter, a familiar passage that talks about the Samaritan woman. And hopefully you've heard that story. If not, I want you to go back and read about the Samaritan woman by the well. A woman that was probably, what we know, was living a life that was not too popular and made a lot of mistakes. And probably the reason why she was at the well to begin with at such a time of that day, she was by herself. And Jesus, as they were traveling through, they went through Samaria, they went to by this well. Jesus stops by the well. The disciples wander off for a little while. And Jesus, being all-knowing, He's God in the flesh. He knows exactly what He's doing. He strikes up a conversation with this lady, this woman at the well, knowing full well who she was and full well. That's funny, at the well. Knowing who she was. I didn't even plan that. That was great. Knowing who she was and what she had done, but Jesus really breaking all the norms, all the things that were happening in that day and time, talking with a woman and a Jew, talking with a Samaritan. Listen, breaking all the rules at that time. But here's Jesus, because He knows that this is a life that needs to be rescued. And so we read the story of the Samaritan woman, and what happens is her life is changed from this encounter with Jesus, so much so that she drops the bucket for water, runs back into town, and she begins telling everybody that she knows about Jesus and what He has done and who He is. Incredible passion for a life, from a life that has been changed. My sermon, my message this morning is not on her. What I'm going to talk about happens right after she is encountering Jesus, and the disciples come back and see where Jesus is and who he's talking to. So again, John chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 34 through 38. So if you're able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? This is what God's Word says. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Father, thank You for Your Word. And we're so grateful to have Your Word. And we just ask that the Holy Spirit would just move mightily in this place and in our hearts, transforming us really into who You want us to be today. God, speak to us. May we be receptive of what You have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as the disciples come back, I'm pretty sure there were some incredible questions about who Jesus was talking to, why He was talking to her. I'm sure that was all in the back of their mind, but they didn't really ask those questions. But what they did ask was if Jesus was hungry. That was their priority. And so they asked if He was hungry. An incredible return from Jesus when He says this. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." I love that statement. There is power in that statement. I want to just share this at the beginning before we get into the kind of the nuts and bolts of this passage. What I love about that statement is the disciples in their mind saw Jesus, and I believe that they cared for Him, obviously, and they knew He hadn't eaten, and they asked Him, "Have you eaten? We want to get you food." And what Jesus said, just said what He is all about. And He said, "I am full because I'm doing what my Father has called me to do." You know, as believers, can I just say the place that we want to be in life? Now listen, I get physical needs. We have those. But can we honestly say that we are full of Jesus? I love the thought of this, because listen, we can make a huge impact in this world if we can live every day knowing that we are filled up, not with ourselves, not with the things of this world, but filled up with Jesus in our life. Have we allowed Him to be everything to us? Are we consuming Him into our life and making Him everything in us? Listen, that's where it starts for us. If we're going to make a difference in this world and love the way that Jesus loves, then we have to understand that our purpose is greater than the immediate. Our purpose is greater than just what we want. It's all about the plan and purpose He has for us. And are we filled up with Him in our life where that is everything to us? I love what Jesus said to them, and just almost saying, really redirecting everything, their attention to the main purpose at hand. And that was the fact that people are ready to hear about Jesus. They are ready to hear about Jesus. And listen, that's the truth for us today. People are ready to hear. You know, we did snow cones yesterday at Cops Day at the park, and we probably handed out 600 snow cones to different, you know, to people throughout the day. It was great. We had some great conversations. What I love about that is the conversations that we were having were incredible, because people want to know. And I want you to know this. People want to know why we have hope. They want to know why we have joy. They want to know why we have peace, even in the midst of crazy times in this world. On a day where we're remembering one of the greatest tragedies and terrorist acts in the history of the world, on a day that we're remembering that, people want to know what makes a believer different. And when I look at this passage, what I find is this. I find Jesus kind of letting the disciples know the truth that we need to know today. That the time to share Jesus, the time to share the gospel, the time to share truth, the time to share about our Heavenly Father is now. Now is the time. This is why Jesus is saying, listen, I don't want the food. I'm doing what God has called me to do, and I want you to do the same. Can I just say for us today, the time is now to do what God has called us to do, and that's to share the hope and the peace and the joy of Jesus with our neighbors and with the people around us. The time is now. Listen to what it says in that next verse, verse 35. It says, do you not say that there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. What he's saying is this. Jesus is using a word picture here that the disciples can understand, because they probably look out and they see all these crops or whatever may be out there, and they're green. They're not ready to be harvested yet. But Jesus is using that as an illustration to say, listen, spiritually, the harvest is ready. That may look green to you, but listen, the people that are around, they are ready to hear about the hope that our Heavenly Father has. The time is now. You may not think it is because things are kind of chaotic, but can I tell you, with the pandemic, with all that goes on in our world, there is no better time than right now to share the gospel. There is no better time than right now to tell people about the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Listen, the time is now. I love what he says. He says this, there are yet 4 months, and he says, then comes the harvest. Here's what he says to them. He says this, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. I love that. Because what he's saying is this, you're looking just with fleshly eyes. And what you see doesn't make any sense to you, like it seems chaotic, but lift up your eyes. Look with spiritual eyes and see what God has for you right now. God has given us a perfect opportunity to share the joy and the love of Christ. Now is the time. People are ready to hear about the hope that you have. I heard this story a long time ago about a guy who was riding on a train through Arizona, and it was desolate, you know, desert and dry, and so where they're going through, it's hot. Most everybody pulled their shade down on their window because it was so hot, and really all there was desert, except for this guy, one guy. He left his shade up and he kept looking out the window, just smiling. Finally, after hours of that, a guy next to him leans over and says, can I just ask you, why are you just smiling looking out that window? It's so desolate out there. Why are you happy about that? And the guy says, oh, listen, he goes, I'm in the irrigation business. And the whole time I'm thinking, if I can get water out here, I can turn a desert into a garden. You know, it's all about our perspective. And Jesus is telling the disciples, listen, you may not see it, and you may think we're a long ways from being ready for this, but the reality is, the time is now. The time is now. People have toiled, people have labored, they have sown. Now is the time to reap. Listen, it is time to love and to share. Share the gospel with others. But not only that, when we look at this, I love, again, this passage is pretty profound to me. But he goes on in verse 36 and he says, Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. Now, this verse, now the whole passage right here, this little passage talking about sowing and reaping, and you guys know, when you talk about, crops, things like that, there are people that come in, somebody comes in and they have to toil the land and do all that and do the seed and they work at it, they water it, whatever it takes to grow that crop, and eventually somebody comes in when that's ready and they reap that harvest. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing, that people come in, they work hard, they share the gospel. Many times they share the gospel and they don't get to see the effect of that until they see them in heaven with Jesus. But for the most part, a lot of people will work and toil and plant those seeds for when somebody else will come and lead them to Jesus, which is amazing. I want you to hear that is all amazing. And whether you feel like right now you are sowing and doing all those things, I want you to know what you're doing is valuable. And I believe this is what Jesus is telling the disciples. You know, listen, people are sowing and there's going to be people reaping and all these different things happening with people, and it's amazing. And he says this, people are receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, rejoicing together. Really what he's saying is this: not only is the time now to share the gospel, to reach out to others, but also the task is worth it. That's what he's saying. Listen, it is time not just to go out and share and do all this, but listen, it's worth it. You may be the one that is sowing or you may be the one that is reaping. Either way, it is worth it, because in the end, people are going to come to know Jesus. And there's a great reward for that. Now, I'm not going to sit here and do the name it, claim it thing. And there are some that will do that. And they'll say, listen, if you sow and you reap and all those things, you're going to get certain things and it's going to be great. I'm not telling you that, but I will tell you this. That if you're willing to work and to follow after Jesus and to plant the seed or share the gospel and lead people in relationship with Jesus, listen, the eternal reward will be great. It will be great. The task is worth it. And listen, what he talks about is the sower and the reaper. They all rejoice when someone comes to the Lord. Can I just say, as a church, as we are going out and living out our faith every day, listen, some of you again will be sowing and some of you will be reaping, whatever the case may be. This is how it's always been. But in it all, listen, we will rejoice because of what God is doing. I'm so excited about that. And that's what Jesus is saying. Listen, the reward of this great task is so wonderful. It is worth it. Continue to share. Continue to work hard at sharing the gospel and reaching other people for our Heavenly Father. Listen to what Matthew 6, I keep coming back to Matthew 6 and verse 19. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and see. Listen, this is what I love about what Jesus is saying. He's saying this: the reward, you may not see the fruit of your labor now, but you will someday. And invest in that someday. Invest in the eternal. You know, every single day we work so hard to meet those practical needs around us, right? That's just something we do. But the truth is, again, you hear this, but we can't take it with us. But I tell you what can go with us? Your neighbors. The people around you. When you invest in their life. And when you share the gospel, listen, you're going to be rejoicing in heaven with them. So here's what we're going to move forward. But listen, this is what it also says in verse 37 and 38. It says, for here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and yet you have entered into their labor. Again, this picture, Jesus almost being cynical here, which I think is funny. He said, the saying and, you know, one sows and another reaps. He's saying this because really the saying was many times what we feel like too. Yeah, one does all the hard work and the other person gets the benefit, right? That's kind of what he's saying. But listen, he's not saying that to downgrade anything or to make someone feel bad. What he's saying is that is a great truth. It's a powerful truth. One person does this, the other person does this, but listen, we do it together. And so the last thing that I find here to help us kind of be motivated to go and to live out this love in our community is the task is worth it, but also together we can do it. Together we can do it. If you want to make a difference in this world, listen, together we can do it. Together as believers, we can go out and we can share the gospel. Together as believers, we can reap the harvest. Together as believers, we can love on our neighbors and our community. Listen, together we can do it. I believe with all my heart that the church is not done yet. As a matter of fact, I still believe what Scripture tells us. The church is the method that God is going to use to reach this world. I believe it with all my heart. I'm not done with the church. Can I just tell you today, we can do it together. And God is calling us to go out, to put into action all that we know and all that we are, and to change this world for Him. Church, are you ready? Are you ready to love on your community, love your neighbor? Are you ready to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, with the few minutes that we have remaining, here's what I want to challenge you with. I don't want to just lay out this challenge to go out and love your community and love your neighbors. I want to talk to you about an initiative that falls under our mission, you know, seek, serve, share. We have a new initiative that I want to kind of bring under that that's going to really push us for the next at least 4 years. That's the timetable I'm giving it, 4 years. And it's called the L4 Initiative. For you teachers, I'm not talking about level 4 of the pandemic. So don't get nervous, okay? I know you're like breaking into hives and sweating. No, L4, it's talking about God's love. So we're talking about love. And we're talking about four areas that I really want our church and believe our church can focus in on and do amazing things in the next 4 years, okay? So it could finish up sooner, which would be amazing, praise God, but I'm giving it 4 years for the L4 initiative. Now listen, I'm going to go through this real quick. You can come back tonight. We'll talk about it a little bit more as we do our Servant Summit. Also, outside, there are little booklets, and it has it in there, okay? Different ministries I want you to pick up before you leave, ministry opportunities, but also it has the L4 initiative in there. You can look at it. But here it goes. You ready? This is how we're going to put this whole message series, Love Our Community, put it into action, and it consists of four loves. One is this, love our God. I want our church to love our God. And here's how I want us to do that. Listen, there's no greater love letter than God's Word. And if you want to know our God, if you want to know Him, and you want to grow in your love for Him, then you need to know His Word. I think that we have thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians today who are Bible illiterate, which means they just don't know the Word. They don't know the Word. And so here's our goal. Over the next 4 years, again, this could be sooner, praise God, I would love it. We're going to encourage the church. We want 175 people. 175 people, it could be with your family, individually, 175 people to read through the Bible. Okay? Listen, that's not all like, woo, mind-blowing, but listen, can you imagine 175 people reading through the entire Bible? Listen, we're giving you some time. I'm not saying in 3 months, 6 months. I'm giving you some time, and I want you to read through the Bible from start to finish. And you know what? We want to know. We have a webpage that is going really live today. It's going out today. And you go to our website. It's the L4 webpage. And on there, we're going to start every time somebody in our church reads through the entire Bible. We want you to tell us. We're going to set up a texting thing. You can tell us, I read through the Bible. And we're going to start putting your name on there. We want people to know that you read through the Bible. That's an amazing accomplishment. And so listen, I want you to take this seriously. I want you to commit. I'm going to read through the Bible. Now sometimes, for some of us, it may take us a couple years. But listen, I want you to read through the Bible. I want you to know our God. There's no better way. And we're going to start posting some ways to do that, some tools that you can use. The Bible app is a great place to start if you want some kind of tool to use to kind of mark your way through reading the Bible. We want 175 people reading through the Bible. The other one is this, love our church. Love our God, love our church. We want our church, in our church, we want to start 30 new life groups. Our goal is to start. There's no greater sense of community than people sharing life together. And so I believe that as a church, in the next 4 years, we want to start 30 new life groups. Now, when I say that, I don't necessarily just mean on a Sunday morning. I want it to be a life group. Maybe it's an affinity group. Maybe it's something that you have a passion for and you want to get people together and kind of walk through it together. Maybe you love photography and you're going to get people together that love photography. Listen, you begin to pray together. You take pictures together. You kind of read through some scripture together. Listen, living life together. That's a life group. I want you to start praying about leading a life group, an affinity group, a life group on Sundays, whatever day that may be, but getting people together and walking and living life together. Our goal is to start 30. So be praying. You may be the one that needs to lead one. The other thing is this, is we love our church. I believe as your pastor, one of the things that we have been the weakest at, and I hate this, we can turn the ship around here. It's become so evident during the pandemic. I think that we have missed opportunities to care for each other. And so my goal and our goal as a church is that we want to start care groups in our church. We want to start at least two Hampton First Baptist care groups that can love on church members, love on church guests, love on people that come and worship here. When they are battling through cancer, when they have lost a spouse, when they are by themselves and they have no way to take care of their lawn, we want to care for each other. And so our goal is to love our church by caring for each other. So that's one of our goals. We want to see what happens as we move through that. The next one is this, love our community. We've been talking about loving our community, love where you live. But we want to love our community as the third L. And there's two ways that we want to do that. And I'm really excited about this. The first way is this. As a church, I want to start 30 neighborhood ambassadors. I want 30 families in their neighborhood to step up and say, I'm willing to be an ambassador in my neighborhood. Which means this, that you're going to prayer walk your neighborhood. You're going to get to know your neighbors. You're going to invite your neighbors over. You're going to communicate with your neighbors. You're going to pray for them. Listen, it's about investing in the ones that are around you. Can you imagine what it'd be like if we had at least 30 neighborhoods in our area? That they had families in there that have totally committed to praying and investing their life into their neighbors. Listen, it is something incredible to care for a church, fellow church member. It is something amazing caring for a neighbor that doesn't know the Lord. Investing in a neighbor that needs Jesus. So listen, 30 neighborhood ambassadors, but here's the one I'm really pumped about this. And we can do it. And we're going to measure this. Listen, there's going to be a way for you to communicate this with us. We want our church over the next 4 years to have 300 gospel conversations. 300 gospel conversations. That means this. Whether you're in a restaurant and you're talking to a server, whether you're at work talking to your coworker, whatever that may be, you pray for the opportunity to talk about Jesus. And talk about Jesus. Have a gospel conversation about who Jesus is. And what he's done for you and what he can do for them. We want our church to have 300. Now, I'm fully confident that the power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, can change lives. Listen, that is not up to us, but we've been called to share. And so if we have 300 gospel conversations, can you imagine what that may start in our community? Listen, I'm excited, and we're going to be sending out ways. So be watching and hearing the ways that we can measure that. And we're going to have a texting thing where you can send in where you shared, and we have a place on our website where we're going to pin different places where you shared the gospel, And we want that thing filled up. And the last thing is this, and then we're going to get out of here. Listen, love our world. Love our world. That's the fourth L. As a church, we believe that in order for us to be healthy, we need to be mission-minded. And so our goal over the next 4 years, church, together we're going to do this, is that we want to enter into partnerships with four new church plants around the world. Two in North America and two internationally around the world. And what I mean by that is this. We want the gospel to be shared. And we want to do more than just go on a mission trip once a week, once a year, 1 week. We want to invest in church starts. We want to partner with church plants in this country and all over the world so that we can walk with them, we can help them, we can pray with them, we can serve there. Listen, we want to enter into partnerships with four new church plants that will cover around the world. I believe that God has called us to love, not just here, but He's called us to love around the world. He's called us to share the gospel. And so I'm excited to enter into, and we've been praying about this. Matter of fact, in just a few weeks, Daniel and I are going to be flying to Utah. And we're going to be talking with church planters in Utah, right in the middle of Salt Lake City. And we're going to be talking about church plant. Listen, there's no greater place than to plant the gospel where the gospel is needed. And so listen, our goal is to have four. And we've got 4 years to do it. I think we can do it. So listen, I'm excited. And again, I know this is kind of going through this really fast. You can look on our webpage. You can grab that ministry packet or booklet as you walk out. But church, I'm excited. I think we have to do more than just talk. I think we need to put it into action. So let's pray about what God would have each one of us do, how we could be a part of all this L4 initiative, but also ministry that's going on in and through our church. And let's just see what God's going to do. I think it's going to be powerful and amazing. And I think in 4 years, we're going to look back and we're going to say, yeah, today, September 12th, 2021, that changed everything. And I'm excited to see all the lives that will be impacted through Hampton First Baptist Church.